I just want to say again how good it is to have all our families here this morning, and especially our Rooted families. And again, just kudos to those who bring little kids and struggle through Mass. And it's just so good that you're here, and you're always welcome here. And just know, parents, that this will bear fruit as time passes, as you wrestle with your kids and try and pay attention. God blesses you in so many ways. So just know that from our community, that we're just delighted that you're here this morning. So my thanks to you for coming out on a cold day, too, besides. In terms of the Gospel, wonderful message from St. Luke on this last Sunday before we slide into the Lent on Ash Wednesday of this week, and it's a real call to conversion and authenticity. But first, though, before trying to explain what the Gospel says, it might be helpful to just point out what it doesn't really say, because I think it's easy to get the wrong idea about this particular piece of text from the Scriptures. Kind of like coming up in a few weeks, we're going to hear another story, easy to get the wrong idea, woman caught in adultery. Similar themes. What the Lord is not saying, he is not saying in his talking about admonition that we're never supposed to point out somebody else's wrongs. Sometimes one hears this and thinks, oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to point out a wrongdoing. Perhaps I shouldn't point out a fault. I shouldn't correct. I shouldn't admonish. That is not what he is trying to say. The fact is, the New Testament is full of examples, the Gospels and the Epistles, of the need to call out wrongs when we see them. And when we see something evil happen, we should point it out and call people to conversion and tell them to change and to shape up. That is the Christian duty. It's an act of love. So to fail to do that is not of the Gospel. It's not being judgmental to point out to somebody else that they are wrong. That needs to be done. That's not what he's saying here. He's also not saying that one must be perfect to point out to somebody else that they are doing something wrong. We're all imperfect people. I certainly am. You all know that at this point. We are all imperfect in our own particular ways. There's only one perfect person ever, that is the Lord Jesus, and then his sinless mother by grace. But other than him and her, there are no other perfect people in history. So how would it have gone if everybody said, well, I'm not perfect, I can't teach. We'd never learn. Never be admonished, never be taught right from wrong. All you parents are disqualified if you're not perfect from teaching your kids, apparently. So that cannot be accurate, right? The fact is truth even when an imperfect bearer of it utters it out of their mouths. The law exists in its truth almost independently of us. And so even flawed people like myself, who are preachers of the word, and flawed people like yourselves can and must point out truths that have to be shared. That is true. No matter what. And the truth carries its own power. Okay? So important not to misunderstand what's being said. We must admonish with love, and truth is its own authority, even independently of our own imperfections. All that being said, this Gospel is tremendously important about perhaps the way that we choose to go about admonishing and correcting and pointing out wrong and falsehood. There are some important things to think about, as the Lord says very, very well, right? The common thread in the first reading from Sirach and the Gospel would be this ever-present reality in the human condition, which we can call deceit, that things are not always what they seem in the human person. This is uniquely human, isn't it? If you think about it, God, Jesus Christ, is the perfect standard of authenticity and transparency. His actions and his words match perfectly. There is no duplicity in him whatsoever. Whatever he says carries total weight and authority because he practices what he preaches with complete perfection. There is that. So God is perfectly honest, perfectly authentic, perfectly transparent. Animals kind of are too, if you think about it. Animals really can't lie. They don't have a will, they don't have an intellect the same way that we do, and so therefore, whatever they do is instinct-driven. They're not going to be deceitful. Your dog doesn't lie to you. You might think so, but that's not what they're doing, okay? But humans, in between God and animals, we can lie, okay? And we can be dishonest, and we can be deceitful. Sirach knows this, the Gospel knows this, so what do? They try and give us some tests, if you will, of authenticity. Here's how you know that a person is really being authentic and honest. And here, Jesus says, is your call to authenticity and honesty and self-examination. so that as you are admonishing and as you are trying to teach others, you really will be working on yourselves too. That's what these readings are about. Sirach presents something like a kind of cleverly worded litmus test. It talks about when you sift grain, the husks become apparent. The imperfections rise up when it's moved around and shaken. Or about pottery, when it's tested, its real strength becomes apparent, or it's not. Same thing with human life. There are certain things that bring to the surface our imperfections, and then we can know if we're really authentic or we are not. It's the same idea. You know, you'll know them by their fruits, right? So there are litmus tests, if you will, that we can apply to the human condition, which is often fickle in its honesty or in its dishonesty, right? Why is the Lord so concerned about these things, about these little litmus tests, about authenticity and about duplicity? For a couple of reasons. The first is that he wants us to be holy, and that should be very clear, right? The Lord knows well how tempting it is for the average person, me included, all of us, to get so caught up in somebody else's faults that we pay no attention to our own. Because that's easy, isn't it? It's a great distraction to worry about all that's wrong with my neighbor, because I'm not paying attention to what's wrong with me. So because the Lord wants me to be holy, he says to me, wait a minute, you are correct to be worried about the wrong of your neighbor, as you must be. However, pay attention to your own wrongs, or you'll never fix them. You'll get so caught up in everybody else's because that's a little easier, you won't do the hard work of your own conversion. So he wants these teachings because of our own personal holiness. And we're not going to get there if we're always worried about everybody else's holiness. Although we should be, we must work on ourselves, of course, too. Second reason he wants it is because he wants the gospel to spread. And he does know that even though, like I said in the beginning, truth is truth independently of the instrument, nonetheless, we all know that truth has a greater ring to it when it comes from a more authentic mouthpiece, doesn't it? The Lord wants us to walk the walk and to talk the talk, to be as integrated as he is and as honest and as transparent as he is. And as we are, our words carry a lot more power, don't they? Think of the saints. Think of the great martyrs and the witnesses of the church. I mean, they were so compelling not only because they said it, but also because they did it. So the Lord, who wants his church to spread, he will admonish in his teachings today to authenticity and transparency. There are litmus tests, he says. So put yourselves through them to well out in you whatever needs to go, that your message can be as potent as it can be. It's going to convert you and convert everyone around you. That's what I want, the Lord says. Because again, we must judge, we must point out, those things must happen, but we must work on our hearts to do it as well as possible. With all that being said, I guess we can ask the next question, okay, well then how do you do that? Are there any kind of modern means or things that we have to help us become authentic witnesses, to do away with duplicity, to sift out what is good and bad, to make us really sharp instruments of truth? The answer is yes. So I'll point out two. One of them is kind of a very modern practical means of like a litmus test in the Sirach sense of the word about the husks and the wheat. And the other one is ancient, liturgical, and probably a little more common. The first thing we could think about, right, in terms of our authenticity, we should examine our conscience all the time about the question of how honest am I as a person? Am I a duplicitous person in any way? Am I really what you see is what you get? Or am I hiding things? Or am I burying things like those husks buried in the grain that Sirach talks about, that adversity brings to the surface, right? Here is a great way in our modern world to think about the authenticity test. Think Sirach. It involves our cell phones. Our cell phones are often helpful little devices. They're great means to communicate, and sometimes not so great, but that's what we use these days. Email, text messages, Twitter accounts, you know, websites, all the things that we do with a phone, right? The Lord might say to us, you know, if you're going to be an authentic person of no duplicity and take the beam out of your own eye and really be a great instrument, you ought to be able to pass the test that goes like this. You should be able to give to anybody else your cell phone and let them look at it at any time. Look at your text messages, look at your emails, look at the websites you visited, look at the pictures that are on there and the content and the apps, and look at your history. You ought to be able to give it to your spouse. You ought to be able to give it to your kids. to your pastor, vice versa. I should be able to give mine to you. There should be nothing inappropriate on that little device, right? That would be a great test for a household, for a family, for a marriage. I'm always so impressed when I see spouses who have the exact same email address, the exact same inbox, right? There are no secrets in that situation. And that is really healthy in our often very secretive modern environment where devices can be explosive in relationships when they are vehicles of deceit. So as a litmus test, that might be one thing to pray about. Is my device, with all those interactions and things, something that is transparent? Or must I think about how I am using it in a way that makes my heart have to change? Litmus test, so to speak, about authenticity in the spirit of the reading. Other means I would mention, that's the practical modern one. Other ones is liturgical and ancient. It is the season of Lent. This is your Lenten commercial, right? Because Lent is given to us every single year as a church so that we can do what this gospel is asking, to root out what is bad, to unearth what is good, to shine it all up, to die to self and become the most authentic, integrated, transparent, self-examining witnesses that we can possibly be, that when we do admonish, we're doing so from a place of real, humble self-examination ourselves, right? All of Lent is crafted to bring that about, and we are wise to engage it with all that we have. So this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we enter into that with fullness, so the church ought to be packed this week on Ash Wednesday, right? As we have ashes on our heads, and we enter into the death of our own understanding of sin being put away from our lives. And then we engage with fasting practices, so no meat on Fridays throughout the Lenten season, and making sacrifices as a family and as a community, and giving away to the poor, and not just from our junk, but like good stuff that the poor ought to have because they are God's special dignified creatures, just like all of us are. So the prayer, the fasting, the almsgiving, daily mass, Sunday masses with awesome, beautiful readings, the rituals, the prayers, the devotion, the stations of the cross, all those Catholic things, the springtime of the year is among the best in the church's calendar. Everything kind of comes to the surface, all the things that need to come out, and we wash them away in grace, confession, the sacraments, it's all there. And then when that's over with, we get to Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Saturday. No one should be out of church that week. We should all be in church on Holy Week. It's the best time of the year. So powerful, so rich, so deep. If we engage that stuff with seriousness, it will do what this gospel is saying. It's going to root out what's got to go. That's the whole point. Shines us up, makes us really awesome instruments of God's word, which is what he wants us to be, you know? So that's my sales pitch for the church's ancient way of handling the reality of human fickleness. We all have it. The church knows it. Therefore, we go through Lent every single year as a rule. So the Lord invites us to this. It is true. We are to point out to other people what is wrong and what is right. We must do that. We cannot run away from that duty. But if we're going to do it, Jesus says, you better do it with the humility of self-examination that I ask of you who are my followers. Focus on yourselves too, not just the others, and let me, my grace, root out of you whatever is inauthentic, whatever is deceitful, whatever is bad, let it go. And as I transform you and work on you, you will be awesome agents of grace, he says, to you and to me. That's a great invitation, a great challenge, and a great privilege. Let's engage it with all of our being.